Judy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you.
Good. Do you remember where we left off last week?
No, I have to look back. Too many different classes. I have to look back at my notes.
That's me too, but I don't have my notes with me, so creates
right.
a problem.
Right. So are we the only two on so far?
I'm sorry?
I said, are we the only two on so far tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to get off and come back on in a minute, Judy.
Okay, that'd be fine.
Hello?
Hello?
My phone is making strange things, so I want to make sure I'm... Welcome, Bob.
Thank you.
Judy, you there?
Yes, I sure am.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Did you, were you able to look up what class, what section we were under?
I'm still looking. Didn't bring my other pack with me. I'll phone.
Let me see if there's anybody else came on board. And it's just Bob and Judy on line right now. And Bob wasn't there last week, so he doesn't know.
Right. My pack might be in the other room when my husband's sleeping. I don't know. I'm just trying to see if I can find this pack here.
Okay. If not able to, I know where we'll start, so.
Okay.
I'm going to be close to it. Why don't we start with the out of the cough? And I'm, because of where I'm sitting in my car, I'm going to say it just with the first letters of the words. So, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi, Kuf Resh Ayin Sin Tet Nun, Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. We're going to use the sequence of Yud Kaf Shin to take our body parts that need healing back to their stem cell state, where they will be healed and rejuvenated. Bet Tet Resh, Tzadi Tav Gimel, Tet Kuf Bet, Tet Nun Ayin, Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf, Shin Kuf Vav, Tzadi Yud Tav. I'm not able to read the verse from the year 5774, so I'm just going to say what I remember. The Psalm, the Ma'akom, and the 8th verse, Baruch Shem Kibod Mahuto Le'olam Bayit. Again, I have problems reading with the light I'm in, the Zohar. So we will start by mentioning where the handout is on the the Yeshem website. If you go to Yeshem and then click on the Revealed Wisdom link at the top in the red bar and scroll down to the matrix, the second from the left, the column is for the advanced classes, and this class is called the Ten Luminous Emanations. When you open that link, I believe it's the 11th row. You scroll down to the sixth class, and we are opening up to section 30, which is where I will start reading. Thus you have a clear answer about the fourth and fifth questions in the beginning of the introduction. And what you find in the words of our sages, as well as in the holy books, that is only given to one whose heart is worried, meaning the part called secrets of the Torah. Considered the first three sephirot and the rosh, the head, that it is given to only concealed ones and under certain conditions. You will not find even a trace of them in all of the books of the Kabbalah, in the writing and in print, since these are things that Atik Yomin has covered, as it is written in the Gemara. Moreover, and my computer jumped a bit, moreover, do say if it is possible to even think and picture that all of these holy and famous righteous people, which are the greatest and the best in the nation, such as those who wrote the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Zohar, and the Baraita of Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Hagayon and Rabbi Hamai Gayon, Rabbi Elazar of Garmiza, and the rest of the Rishonim, meaning the first ones, through the Ramban and the Baal HaTurim and the Baal Shulchan Aruch, through the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, and the Ladi Gaon, and the rest of the righteous, may the memory of all be blessed. From them we receive the whole of the revealed Torah, and by their words we live to know which act to perform, so as to be favored by the Creator. All of them wrote and published books in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and there is no greater disclosure than writing a book whose author does not know who will read the book. It is possible that utter wickedness will scrutinize it. Hence, there is no greater uncovering of secrets of Torah than to write a book revealing the secrets of the Torah when you don't know who will read it. And we must not doubt the words of these holy and these pure, right sages, that they might infringe even one iota on what is written and explained in the Mishnah and the Gemara, that are forbidden to disclose, as it is written in the Masechet Hagigah. Rather, all the written and printed books are necessarily considered the tamim of the Torah, the taste of the Torah. My computer jumped. Which Atik Yomin first covered and then uncovered, as it is written, and the palate tasted its food. Not only are these secrets not forbidden to disclose, on the contrary, it is a great mitzvah, very good indeed to disclose them, as is, it is written in Pesachim 119. And one who knows how to disclose and discloses them, the reward is plentiful. This is because on disclosing these lights to many, particularly to the many, depends the coming of Messiah soon in our days. Amen. Hanok's commentary. Please note, when you say the name of the sage or the name of the book, the sage has written you, or the sage that you are referring to, or the book that you are referring to, are the same thing. A book and a name of a sage are the same thing. An aspect of the soul of the person. When one writes something, if you are not revealing your essence, meaning your soul, you are not doing it properly. This applies to an essay on a high school exam or a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. This is truly something that needs to be contemplated. When you read a book, if that book is written properly, you are reading the soul of the person. Rabbi Ashlag is also teaching us. The concept of a handmaid for Lo Lishma and the many positive statements like fear of the Lord, spirit of wisdom, and understanding the spirit of the Mashiach, and many others that also mean Lishma. Why do you think the language has changed? Here is a hint. What is the language of branches, and how do I use it? Oh, I jumped to a whole section. Let me go back to section 31.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going back to the... I'm going back to my commentary on section 30, which I didn't complete.
Okay.
Rabbi Ashlag is also teaching that it has become revealed that it transfers from... That's the problem. Okay. That it transfers from the sod, the secret, to the taste, to the tameh. If it was sod, it would not be revealed by these caliber of people. It also is teaching that evil people can learn the level called tameh, but would never learn sod, since it is never taught by physical people. It is only taught by the Heavenly Academy levels. Now, many of my students are Jews by choice. What is the implication of this section on the teachings of the man from Nazareth and his followers? Is the New Testament positive or is it negative? How can wars be waged in the name of a religion by Kabbalists? How can a Mikubal curse a person for following his heart and claiming he is doing wrong to teach or reveal any aspect of wisdom? Section 31. There is a great need to explain once and for all why the coming of the Messiah depends on the study of Kabbalah in the masses, which are so prevalent in the Zohar and in all the books of Kabbalah. They are always saying that Kabbalah needs to be taught to everyone. The populace has already discussed it pointlessly, and it has become unbearable, meaning the people who are not knowledgeable have talked about this. Should I study Kabbalah or shouldn't I study Kabbalah? Why doesn't Mashiach come? Because people aren't studying Kabbalah. So let's start to study Kabbalah. And then people respond the way they respond and so forth, as we've heard from Rabbi Ashlag in earlier sections. The explanation of this matter, every time my computer gets dark, it changes locations. The explanation of this matter is expressed in the corrections, the tikkunim of the Zohar. The abbreviated translation, when the holy divinity went into exile, the Spirit blows upon them who engage in the Torah, because the holy divinity is among them. They are all as hay-eating beasts. Every grace that they do for themselves. Even all those who study the Torah, every grace that they do for themselves. In that time, the Spirit leaves and does not return to the world. This is the Spirit of the Messiah. Woe unto them that make the Spirit of the Messiah leave and not return to the world. They make the Torah dry and do not want to delve into the wisdom of Kabbalah. These people cause the sprouting of the wisdom, which is the Sod in the name Havaya, to depart. The Spirit of the Messiah leaves, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And God said, let there be light. This is the light of love, the love of mercy, as it is written, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It is said about that, if ye awaken, and if ye stir up love until it pleases you, then it is love not in order to receive reward. This is because if fear and love are in order to receive reward, it is a handmaid. That is heir to her mistress. This is seemingly perplexing, for it is written, one will always engage in Torah and mitzvot, even lo lishma, and why the earth doth quake. In addition, we must understand the correlation of the engagement in lo lishma, specifically to the handmaid, and also the parable that she inherits her mistress. What inheritance is there here? My commentary. What do you think is the meaning of toad ahead? Is it malchut to keter, or does it have another meaning? Can you think of some other meaning? We are looking at different vocabulary that Rabbi Ashlag is using, and we need to understand his vocabulary to understand what he is saying. Section 33. You will understand the matter with everything that is explained above in this introduction, that they did not permit the study in lo lishma, but only since from lo lishma one comes to lishma, since the light in it reforms. Hence, engagement in lo lishma is considered a helping handmaid who assists and performs the ignoble works for her mistress, the holy divinity, the Shekhinah. This is because at last one will come to lishma and will be imparted the inspiration of divinity. Then the maid, which is the engagement in lo lishma, will also be considered a holy maid, for she supports and prepares the holiness, though she will be considered the world of Asiya, of the Kedusha. However, if one's faith is incomplete, and he does not engage in the Torah, or in the work only because the Creator commanded him to study, then we have seen above that in such Torah and work, the light does not appear. This is because one's eyes are flawed, and like a bat, turn the light into darkness. Such a study is no longer considered a maid of Kedusha, since he will not acquire Lishma through it. Hence it comes to the domain of the maid of the Klipa, which inherits these Torah and this work, and robs them for herself. Hence the earth doth quake, meaning the holy divinity called earth. This is so because those Torah and work that should have come to her as a possessions of the holy divinity, that evil handmaid robs and lowers them to be a possession of the Klipot. Thus the handmaid is heir to her mistress. This is my commentary. This is amazing to see how the words in the language of branches become so very deep when we have a teacher who just hints to the relationships. Which of us would think that the handmaid and the holy maid have different concepts? And then how this applies to the meaning of the earth is quaking. And the meaning of the word earth is different than we think of it on its literal level. To be this is simply amazing. And to me, this is simply beautiful. Section 34. The Tikkunim of the Zohar interpreted the meaning of the oath. If ye awaken and if ye stir up love until it please. The precision is that Israel will draw the light of the upper chesed, called love of mercy. Since this is what is desired, this is drawn particularly by the engagement in Torah and in mitzvot, not in order to receive reward. The reason is that the light of the is extended to loving kindness. Light of Chokhmah translates further as light of wisdom. We learned in the four phases the concept of creating desire, which is the Sefirah of Malchut. Malchut is only one true desire, and that is the desire for the upper light, or Or de Chokhmah. The creations of Malchut have no ability to perceive Or de Chokhmah, since all of the levels of Malchut are illusionary. The only way that Or de Chokhmah can be sensed by the creatures of Malchut is by enclosing Or de Chokhmah by Or de Chasadim. The light of loving kindness is the concept of Lishma. For its own sake, in the world of Malchut, this concept of Lishma is explained as a desire to receive for the sake of sharing. Rabbi Ashlag is explaining that Torah study, lo lishma, does not help to bring Mashiach in our generation. The study of Torah is not being done.
Hanok, I think you just went on mute. I do not hear you.
I cannot hear him either.
Yeah, I think he accidentally touched the mute button.
Yeah, I kept waiting.
I suspect he does not know it.
I know.
I think, is it start?
He's in a car, so where he's at is dark. He might have hit a button not realizing it.
Hello, can you hear me? Well, this doesn't usually happen.
No,
So maybe we could just chat.
Well, I'm back, actually.
Are you back
now? So you want to chat, go ahead and I'll wait. I apologize.
No, you've been on mute, Hanok. We have not been hearing you, so. Did you know that?
Do you remember the last part you heard?
Yeah, the last thing I heard was about Torah study. You said if it's not done, you went into about the four faces, about the Malkut and all that, and the true desire for the upper light to come down or whatever. And you said about Torah study was not, if it's not done, it's not being done.
I wasn't mute that long before I realized it. So I'm going to go back. This is my commentary on, I'm looking for the section number from Rabbi Ashlag, so the recording will know where we are. It's from section 34, and I'm starting with my commentary.
Okay.
To understand, boy, this is really difficult tonight, thank God. To understand this section, we must first understand the Kabbalistic terms, Ord Chasadim, the light of loving kindness, and Ord Hachma, which translates as the light of wisdom. The light of Chasadim, loving kindness, translates further into the light of loving kindness. The light of Hachma translates further into the light of wisdom. We learned in the four phases the concept of creating desire, which is the Sefirah of Malchut. Malchut has only one true desire, and that is the desire for the upper light, or for the light of wisdom. The creations of Malchut have no ability to perceive this light of wisdom, since all the levels of Malchut are illusionary. The only way that the light of wisdom can be sensed by the creatures of Malchut is by enclosing the light of wisdom into or by the light of loving kindness. The light of loving kindness is the concept of lishma, for its own sake. In the world of Malchut, this concept of lishma is explained as a desire to receive for the sake of sharing. Rabbi Ashlag is explaining that Torah study, being done lo lishma, for not for its own sake, does not help to bring Mashiach. And in our generation, the study of Torah is not being done for the purpose of lishma. It is only through the study of Kabbalah that people will reach this level of lishma, which is
Is this your computer that's having the problem?
Yes, it's really my computer that I'm working off the battery, and I'm sitting in my car because I can't really, I just could connect to the Wi-Fi to open up the page, and then now I'm not connected to the Wi-Fi. So that's why it's all confusing tonight. It is only through the study of Kabbalah will people reach this level of lishma, which is a requirement for the coming of Mashiach. Yet if one studies Kabbalah, one must have the desire to reach the level of lishma, or the study of Kabbalah can also become the tree of death, God forbid, just like the study of Talmud, and was explained to do so above. Again, if the same 3 years to 5-year period, if they go by without changing in yourself, it's time to find another teacher of the Kabbalah and find another path. But do not go down the path of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Connect to the tree of life. Section 35. They also interpreted, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. What is the Spirit of God? during the exile, when Israel were still occupied in Torah and Mitzvot, L'Lishma, if they are in this way, because it went dark. Here I come again. If they are in this way because from lo lishma one comes to lishma, then divinity is among them, though in exile, since they still have not reached lishma. This is the meaning of the text, when divinity is in concealment. However, they are bound to attain the revelation of divinity, and then the spirit of the Messiah, the Mashiach King, hovers on the engaging and awakens them to come to Lishma. As it is written, the light in it reforms them. She aids and prepares for the inspiration of divinity, which is her mistress. Yet if this learning in lo lishma is not suitable to bring them to lishma, divinity regrets it and says that the spirit of man that rises upward is not found among those practicing the Torah. Rather, they suffer from the spirit of the beast, which descends, whose engagement in Torah and mitzvot is only for their own benefit and their own pleasure. The engagement in the Torah cannot bring them to lishma, since the spirit of the Messiah does not hover on them, but leaves them and will not return to them, because the impure maid robs their Torah and inherits her mistress, since they are not on the way to come from lo lishma to lishma. Even though they do not succeed through the practice in the revealed Torah, since there is no light in it, and it is dry due to the smallness of their minds, they could still succeed by engaging in the study of Kabbalah. This is because the light in it is clothed in the clothing of the Creator, the holy names, and the Sefirot. They could easily come to that form of lo lishma, which brings them to lishma, and then the Spirit of God would hover on them, as it is written, the light in it reforms them. Yet they have no wish at all for the study of Kabbalah, and thus they cause poverty, looting, ruin, killing, and destruction in the world. Since the Spirit of the Messiah leaves, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit of understanding. My commentary. Please understand that Rabbi Ashlag is explaining that one must arrive at the level of consciousness called Lishma for its own sake, in order for Mashiach to manifest. If the Torah has any aspect of lo lishma, or selfishness, then the Mashiach energy leaves, never to return. Never to return to that level again, and the world does become darker. This is why the Zohar tells us that the rabbis of the final generation have their root of their souls in the air of Rav. The mixed multitudes is the way it's usually translated. This is why the religious path of the Talmud is so potentially dangerous to mankind. Yet each person has free choice. This is why the teachers of Kabbalah teach that Kabbalah is the only path that will reach complete world correction.
Question.
Section. Go ahead, Bob.
I'm sorry. I don't know whether to interrupt you with a question when you went by a golden nugget or to wait. So
of my classes, I look for interruptions.
Okay, thank you. So my question It seems like a major theme about this text is setting our intention to be, when we study sacred text, setting our intention to learn it so that we can share it. Is that the big message from that? To be of a sharing heart while we're...
It's the small message from that.
What is the big message?
The big message is that the need to study Kabbalah in our generation is so overwhelming that we must do it. But when someone goes out to someone who's not knowledgeable and he says, you have to study Kabbalah in order to bring Mashiach, it's not a statement that can be proven logically. Rabbi Ashlag is going through section after section trying to prove this logically. And eventually he does do that in this essay. But no one will take the time to read it. But when you do take the time, it just becomes so overwhelming to you that any time you are spending away from living Torah, I didn't say studying Torah, but living Torah, if you're spending time away from living Torah, you're sending Mashiach out of the world. That's the message here. Now, how do you live Torah as opposed to how do you study Torah? What is the difference? And that's what Rabbi Ashlag's essay and what this class is starting to teach. This essay was written, this is the foreword called the Hakdama to the Ten Luminous Emanations, and you and I started to study the Ten Luminous Emanation a couple of years ago, and then things happened and moved on and redirected. But the Ten Luminous Emanations is a restructured Etz Chaim. The Etz Chaim is the basic teachings of the Ari in an order that was put down by his student. Rabbi Ashlag came and said, that order is not correct. The way it's being explained, the way it's being taught, is losing people. It needs to be rearranged and taught in this way.
And was that when the Tree of Life changed shape?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's where this whole discussion is all about. It's something that you need to listen to the first five classes and start at the beginning, because the essay starts out by saying, I've talked to people to study Kabbalah, and they give me these questions of why should I study Kabbalah. But if you really look at the questions they're asking, they're being tools of the Satan. They're allowing themselves to be blocked and saying, oh, I'm smart because this is really reasonable, my question. If you can't answer my question, then I shouldn't study Kabbalah. And we just finished last week that discussion where we could understand that all of those questions that were asked by these people, not just any people, but knowledgeable Torah students who kept saying, I don't want to study Kabbalah. I don't know enough. I'm not holy enough. All of these different attitudes that are coming from the Satan, and people don't even realize how the Satan has penetrated their study of Torah and created a tree of death from the Torah. That is what Rabbi Ashlag is teaching us here. That is the deep deep secret. You're looking for a short, simple answer. But there isn't a short, simple answer to the Kabbalah. It's that deep, and it needs to be absorbed on all of the different levels that it represents. Have I confused you?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
You're welcome. Section 36. I'm not sure I finished. I had almost finished 35. What I hadn't finished in section 35 in my commentary is this last three sentences. This is why the religious path of the Talmud is so potentially dangerous for mankind. Yet each person has free choice. This is why the teachers of the Kabbalah teach that Kabbalah is the only path that will reach complete world tikkun. Section 36. We learn from the words of the Tikkunim Zohar that there is an oath that the light of mercy and love will not awaken in the world before Israel's deeds in Torah and mitzvot will have the intention to do them not to receive reward, but only to bestow contentment upon the Maker. This is the meaning of the oath. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem. This is a verse from Psalms. Thus the length of the exile and the affliction that we suffer depends on us and waits for us to merit the practice of Torah and mitzvot lishma. And if we only attain that, this light of love and mercy, which has the power to extend, will immediately awaken, as it is written, and the Spirit shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Then we will be granted complete redemption. It has also been clarified that it is impossible for the whole of Israel to come to that great purity except through the study of Kabbalah, which is the easiest way, adequate even for commoners. However, while engaging only in the revealed Torah, it is impossible to be rewarded through it, except for a chosen few, and after great efforts, but not for the majority of the people, for the reason that is explained in item number 24. This thoroughly explains the irrelevance of the fourth and fifth questions at the beginning of the introduction. In my commentary, I say, do you remember question 4 and 5? Here they are because I don't think you remembered them. Fourth, even those who favor this study permitted only to the holy ones, the servants of the Creator, and not all who wish to take the Lord may come and take. And that we've just discussed is not true. The fifth response, the fifth reason not to, God forbid. And most importantly, there is a conduct in our midst that when in doubt, keep this. Do as the people do. And my eyes see that all those who study Torah in my generation are of one mind, and they refrain from studying the hidden. Moreover, they advise those who ask them that it is undoubtedly preferable to study a page of Gemara instead of this engagement of Kabbalah. Okay, one can see that Rabbi Ashlag has answered questions 4 and 5 as being truly frightening. Rabbi Ashlag has explained that people are causing the Mashiach energy, to leave the physical world when they refuse to study Kabbalah. Since they are not studying Gemara and Mishnah Lishma, they have no ability to even recognize that they're not studying Gemara and Mishnah Lishma. I refer you to the ongoing issues in conflict in the modern state of Israel. The conflict over the state paying to study Torah to the Haredi community, to the religious people. They are paid to study, to stay in school. They are paid to not work, not support themselves. They are a drain on the community. There is an issue of the draft of students to leave Torah study, to serve the nation in other ways, whether it's working in social services and community service, or if it's the 2 years that every 18-year-old in Israel goes into the army, into the IDF. They don't have to go into the IDF. They have an alternative. But the Haredi, the religious community, says, we want our children to study Torah. We don't want them to go to either one of these alternatives. And not only that, we want you to pay us for them to study Torah. Because when they study Torah, that is the true protection for the nation. But they are corrupting what the sages have said. And this whole discussion is ongoing right now in the papers and the letters and emails coming out of Israel. The unwillingness to prepare yeshiva students to earn a living, to earn a living in a secular world, so that they have, we have a society where the religious community is having child after child and creating a level of poorness, a level of inability to compete in the world. And yet, the secular form of Israel is competing very well because they are learning. There needs to be a balance in this, but the religious community refuses to recognize this need for balance. I'm going to be right there. And there are other conflicts similar to these between the religious community and the secular community in the modern state of Israel. This is an indication that the light is defeating the Satan, since this is where the current battle between good and evil exists. Remember, Satan does not want to win, only to make the process longer. I just have time to do one more section, so section 37. The third question, which is the fear that one will turn sour. Well, there is no fear at all here. This is because the deviation from the path of God that occurred before was for two reasons. Either they broke the words of our sages with things that they were forbidden to disclose, or because they perceived the words of the Kabbalah in their superficial meaning as corporeal instructions, breaching, thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image. These are the words of Rabbi Ashlag. Hence, until this day, there has indeed been a fortified wall around this wisdom. many have tried to begin to study, but could not continue for lack of understanding and because of the corporeal appellations. This is why I have labored with the interpretation. The Panim Meirot, a book that Rabbi Ashlag wrote, and the Panim Maspriot, an essay in a book, another one dealing with these issues, to interpret the great book, The Tree of Life by the Ari, to make the corporeal forms abstract and to establish them as spiritual laws above time and place. Thus, any novice can understand these matters, their reasons and explanations, with a clear mind and with great simplicity. No less than one understands Gemara through the interpretation of Rashi. My commentary is very short. Here is a hint as to why I stress, and Rabbi Ashlag stresses, not to use the Tree of Life glyph. Most of my physical Kabbalah teachers indicate that Rashi was actually a Kabbalist, and only through Kabbalah can you make sense of his comments, lishma, for their own sake, to give pleasure to the Creator. That's the end of section 37, and we will pick it up next week on Monday. Although next Monday at 8:30, I'm waiting to hear from people whether they want to have a class on Labor Day, which is next Monday at 8:30. So we may be skipping a week or not, as the case may be. Are there any questions?
I was going to ask you earlier. I think it was section 33 when you were talking about the difference between the handmade and the holy made.
Yes.
And I was trying to. I remember you said that the holy divinity was the earth, right?
Please say it again.
Okay, was the holy? You were talking about the holy divinity or the made? You know. I was trying to
The language that is being used by the source of this translation is unclear.
Okay.
And so they use the term holy divinity. They use the term handmade. And they use mm-hmm. the term holy made. And it's mm-hmm. really not clear from the way that they're using it as what is the differences. And I don't have the Hebrew translation, the original, so that I can see what it is and make it clear for you. But my understanding and my sense of it at this point, the holy divinity is Malchut. The holy divinity is the Mashiach, not the Mashiach, but the Shekhinah. The handmaid is the Satan, the negative aspect, the negative system. And the holy mistress, or the holy maid, is the Shekhinah also. Now, why is it the Shekhinah being used in two ways? That's what I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it will take my Hebrew... writing for this book is in storage, and when I get to Los Angeles and have time to look through the storage to find it, I'll be able to clarify it. But until then, I'm not sure myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was going to ask you another question.
What I was going to finish by saying that even though we don't understand it at this point, Rabbi Ashlag's main thrust and main message in this essay is what I said earlier to Bob's question. The main message is to study Kabbalah, because that is the only way you can arrive at studying Torah, Lishmo, Lishma. When people, religious people, say it to me all the time, every city I go into, when I meet Jewish people who are studying, I have a friend who I used to live with, a roommate I used to live with, and he goes out with the mitzvah of collecting charity. And he goes from city to city, and he talks to the people who are studying the Gemara. And he shows them where it's written in the various sages that they feel are valid sages, that you have to study Kabbalah. And they say it's a misinterpretation. It's not. The words are very clear. They just don't want to hear it because they are so connected to the negative system. But they're studying Torah. They're studying Gemara. They're studying Talmud. I had a student this week. She'd been studying with me for 5 years. And this week, she said, I don't have the background in Tanakh to study Kabbalah. So I'm searching for a Tanakh teacher. And I explained to her, for the last year, I have been explaining to her, but she doesn't want to hear it, that, yes, you need a background in Tanakh to study Kabbalah, but what the truth is, when you need to know that aspect of Tanakh, it shows up in your mind. It shows up in your intuition. It's there for you to utilize because the system supports the study of Kabbalah. And you just have to open your eyes and see how it works. And she's gone over this past year, time after time, saying to me, yes, I see how it works. And then again, this week, no, I need to have background in Tanakh. This is how Satan gets hold of us.
Mm-hmm.
It closes off our views, our eyes, our understanding of what these sages are saying. Now go ahead and ask your question.
You was explaining to me also about, you know, when you were going into the modern Israel, some of the things in between the religious community and the secular community, how, you know, there's not a balance there. What do you see the problem for our country, since we have some leaders in New York and places like that that study how they do there, but like for our country and as far as the Jewish people, American Jews, and what is our...
The people in New York that you're referring to are repeating the same issue that's coming out of the Haredi community in Israel. They're supporting the writings of that. They're saying the same thing. So what are you saying? What are you asking me? What is the...
We have other, like, what, you know, reform is a big movement over here in America. So, I mean, they're very, you know, very liberal. So what is our balance for us on, you know, like on this side of the ocean? Are we dealing with different problems than they are, basically? Or is it spiritual and secular pull for us, you know?
I need to give you some background. And what I'm going to say is going to be very uncomfortable for you to hear, because it goes against what you have heard and what you have been taught by other teachers and other rabbis. But the Zohar says very clearly, in more than one place, the rabbis of the end generation will be coming, the root of their soul will be coming from the Erev Rav. They will be coming from a place of separation, of creating separation. anytime you go to a rabbi in our generation, you cannot be certain, you cannot be certain that they are not teaching you from that place. The only way you can protect yourself is to learn the truth through your own study, through your own direct study of the Kabbalah. Because that Reform rabbi is not studying the Kabbalah. If he is studying the Kabbalah, he is studying it from an intellectual experience, not a practical experience. This is what the Gemara is, the way the Gemara is being taught. So they're teaching Zohar that same way. They don't know any better. Mm-hmm. I've been fortunate to study with many different teachers. And each of those teachers have taught me different aspects, different ways of perceiving this. And ultimately, what they've taught me is you need to experience this for yourself. You need to find out what is truth for yourself. That's what I teach. My basic course, when you're through listening to all 20 classes, you have all of the tools that you will ever need to know how to have your personal experience of the Creator, the personal experience that you want. Because each of us wants a different level. Some want at a deeper level, some want at a not so deep a level. Those 20 classes give you the tools. Will you have a personal experience of the Creator from those 20 classes? The answer is yes, but you won't be able to recognize it. Because each of those classes are lifetime studies. There is no simple path that says, here is the taste. Here, just take it. Here, this is the answer for you. Because every answer that I give to one person cannot be applied to another person. Because everything is always relative. So you have to learn how to connect to your own intuition. You have to know, how do you find out what is the right thing for you to do in every situation? Does the Reform movement have the right answer? For some people, it does. Does the Renewal movement have the right answer? For some people, it does. It depends on what you desire. I'm sorry, I'm not offering you a simple answer. I'm not offering you something that says, here, just follow this and you'll always know what to do. But in truth, that is what I'm offering you. Follow your intuition and you will always know what to do. There's nothing more complex than that. There's nothing more simple than that. You just have to be honest with yourself so that you know when your intuition will fool you. You have to be honest with yourself to know why you're receiving that particular thought at that particular time. But that's you having to be honest with yourself. There's no simple, when X happens, then Y needs to happen, and that's the answer for everybody. That is not the way the Creator created the world. But that is the way the Western world teaches. And that is where Satan has become strong.
Thank you.
Have
I
answered your question?
Yes, yes. I'm understanding what you're saying. I appreciate it.
No problem.
I know it's not easy for you to say what you have to say, and I appreciate it.
Look, it would be so much simpler for me to give a simple, this is what people need to do. And for many years, I went from teacher to teacher, and that's what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying, we know the answer. Just come to see us. What did you say, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're saying that you're seeing a hard thing. And I'm sorry, was it Judy?
Yes, Judy.
I forgot. And Judy is saying, no problem. Thank you for telling me. But there's a whole other level. And that I have experienced with you, teacher, from this is the beginning conversation, right? This conversation
yes.
of I'm telling you the hard thing leads to bantering, which is even better. And it leads to the student defending the desires of their heart and saying, but I do come to the Kabbalah out of a sharing heart, you know, for the goodness of the world. Be more than a student, to be a teacher in my own right. And so the good news is that telling us that this is hard to hear is only the beginning. It leads to bantering, which is even better, where the student contributes back.
Absolutely. Because when the student contributes back, that is where truth gets revealed. Not my truth, but the truth that the student can utilize in their life. That is the gift of the teachings that I have received.
Yeah,
and
that's
that I
why
share with people.
I just wanted
to mention, I was going to remind you, Bob, in case you hadn't, and I hope I'm not embarrassing you with this, but when we first started talking and teaching and interacting, and you would say, but I am sharing, and I would say to you, no, you're not. And you fought with me. You disagreed with me. You didn't like it. It was uncomfortable for you to hear it.
Because you wanted to, we were trying to promote bantering, right?
I was trying to get you to go to a deeper level.
Yes.
And you got there, and you went to the deeper level. You know, and you went out and looked elsewhere and then came back. This is what has to happen.
Yeah. You know, I need to let you go.
To get to the deeper level.
I'm exhausted. I took a sleeping pill, and I'm conking out here.
Okay.
Thank you for the class. Can I contribute the usual amount tomorrow?
Sure. No problem.
Okay. All right. Have a good evening.
You all.
Me too.
Are there any other questions?
No, I'm not going to keep you. I know you're tired and have to go. I could question people all night, so that's not, you know, that's just... Nope.
I'll cut short when I get out of him, but this has been a good session.
Oh,
thank you.
I've enjoyed it.
But this has been a good session because of your questions. That's really the important thing. Everybody have a beautiful week. And,
thank you.
You
too.
Good night. Speak to you soon. Good night.
Good night. Shalom. Okay.